Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
My opening text is John chapter 4, verse 35, and it says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." And I want to talk to you on this thought tonight. Who will go? Who will go? Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for this time. Thank you, God, for your presence that's in this house. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would touch every heart that's in this place. Lord, I pray that you would let a fresh wind blow through this house tonight and that it would touch each and every individual. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would, Lord, let your word be in us tonight, God. Help us to receive this. Lord, I pray that you would guide my thoughts, Lord, and that you would keep me in your vein tonight. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for what you're going to do. You can be seated. A few weeks ago, I spoke about this very thing on a Tuesday night. I talked about an event that my wife and I were able to go and be a part of with and our kids. We took our kids. But I'm going to, there wasn't a bunch of people here that night, and I want this to be something that our whole church grabs a hold to, because God uses willing people. We got a bunch of able people, but I believe that God is going to light a fire under us, and we are going to do the work of the evangelist. We are going to, as a whole church, we're going to go out, we're going to reach souls, we're going to reach the lost, we're going to reach UGA, we're going to see thousands of people come to the Lord. But my goal tonight is to encourage and to build your faith up by the testimonies that I'm going to be sharing from the event that we went to. And I believe that it is the will of God that everybody in this house receives the revelation of what the church is capable of accomplishing whenever we get together and we pray and we fast and we have a light-minded burden to reach lost souls. But before we leave tonight, God's not only going to get us ready to reach lost souls. I believe that God is going to meet some needs in this house. I believe that healing is going to take place in this house. God is going to minister to needs, and God is going to renew us with His Spirit. The event that we went to, it was called Blitz. So in early December, I started seeing Brother Taylor Fish started posting and kind of advertising, I guess you could say, about this event that was going to take place down in St. Augustine. And whenever I first heard him speak about it, he explained it as a evangelism training weekend where people from across the country are going to come to this, to St. Augustine, and we're going to be trained by soul winners from across America. And I knew that we were meant to be there. Whenever I knew we were going, but I hadn't committed to going yet. But finally, closer towards the end of December, we committed and we registered and we planned to go, you know, with the approval from Pastor. So whenever we went down to Blitz, it done something to us that, I mean, it changed us inside. We will never be the same because of what we were a part of. And before I just talk too much about it, I've got a short video that I'm going to get Matthew to play for us over the screens. And it's like it's a trailer. This video is going to show you exactly what we're going to be talking about tonight. So if you want to go ahead and play that, Matthew, you can go ahead.
I'm
What we just saw on that video is that is what happens when a group of people will get together and pray and fast and let a burden fall on them. Whenever we got to St. Augustine, we went to the first service. See, the first afternoon service that we went to, they had pre-service prayer an hour before the service started. And the service started at 7. We got there at 5:50. And to get into this church, there were two sets of doors. There was a set of doors, and then you go through a pretty good-sized lobby, and then there's another set of doors. Before I got within 20 feet of the outside doors, I could hear a roar of people already just praying and crying out to God. And whenever we got in that prayer meeting, we knew that God was going to do the miraculous this week. We knew that we had just stepped into something. For me and my wife, we stepped into the unknown. We said, God, we don't know how we're going to fit in here. We're not evangelists that have traveled around the country and have preached meetings and gone and done all these crazy things. But we showed up willing. We were willing to go and to just do our best and be a part of reaching St. Augustine. So the whole purpose behind Blitz was for a new church start, a church startup. So what we did whenever we got there is we broke off into teams to do outreach. There was a lot of awesome training that took place first. They equipped us with what we needed to do. But we went and we started knocking on doors. As scary as that sounds, we went out, we broke off into teams of four or five people, and we would go out. We would have a designated street for our group to go down, and the goal was to knock on every door in St. Augustine and talk to as many people as we could, to try to tell them about Jesus, to instigate a God moment. And that's what we were doing. We had these shirts on that said, "Ask me for prayer." The first day session that we left out from the training seminar that morning, and we were in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru, and we got a message from Brother Fish on the WhatsApp that said, "Somebody just received the Holy Ghost in Chick-fil-A in Palm Coast." And we was like, and me and Karen, we're sitting in the drive-thru, and we're like, "Are you serious?" Like, I said, "Karen, this is the Chick-fil-A they're talking about, and my God, you know, if we wouldn't have been in the drive-thru, we would have been inside. It would have probably been very uncalled for to just jump out of the car and leave it blocking their drive-thru, but we should have." But that is, we had these Ask Me for Prayer shirts on. Somebody, this group walked into Chick-fil-A, and somebody seen that shirt, and they said, "Hey, I need prayer." And God filled them with the Holy Ghost sitting right there in Chick-fil-A eating their nuggets. You know, like God can work. God works outside of these four walls. It will blow your mind at how much easier it is to see somebody get filled with the Holy Ghost outside of these four walls than it is inside of the four walls. It is awesome. But whenever we went out, and I want to talk about this outreach stuff, because we're here at Restoration Apostolic Church, we are about to start doing outreach. We're going to go out into our community. We're going to knock on doors. We're going to go into UGA. We're going to do prayer revivals. We're going to reach students. We're going to do everything that we can to try to reach people and show them to Jesus. So whenever we went out and we were knocking on doors, we had so much success. We only got cussed out one time, just my team. But that, you know, it happens. One guy, he was just very, very rude and old. But anyways, we had a bunch of God moments with people at their front doors, you know, and what we were doing was we were going up to these doors and we'd knock on the door. I've knocked on a lot of doors, roofing. What I do with my profession, roofing, I've knocked on a bunch of doors. So knocking on doors was nothing to me. I know how to do it. I walk up to the door, I knock on it, I step back about 10 feet, give them enough room to come outside, make them feel like they're not being pushed. We did this. People came outside, and that's when we would give them our spiel and say, "Hey, my name's Dusty." And as weird as it sounded, I said, "I'm with Christian Life Center." I almost said Restoration Apostolic Church so many times, and I wanted to. I almost said Alumni Roofing one time. But what we would do is we would introduce ourselves, and we would let people know, hey, we are here. We're a church that's local, that cares for our community. We are here to pray for you. We're here to see if you have a need that we can pray about. And what we would do, we had a survey. And with this survey, it was structured in a way that would get answers out of people. You know, if they gave us the time of day, we would say, "Do you mind taking a 60-second survey?" And if they said yes, then the first question was, on a scale from 1 to 10, how bad do you need God to do something in your life? Surprisingly, I had people say a 5, and they hesitated about trying to figure out what number to pick. The majority said 10. I would have said 10. But right after that, the next question was, how can we pray for you? We know that everybody has a need. What is something that we can pray with you about? And then after they would tell us, we would stop right there and we would pray with them on the spot. We'd say, "Can we just go ahead and pray with you about this? We're going to write it down and somebody's going to be praying about this later, but we care enough. We don't even know you, but we love you in the Lord and we care enough about your situations that we want to go ahead and pray with you about this and believe that God is going to meet this need." So that's what we would do. And it blew people's minds. We had people breaking down in tears on their front porch, you know, and just pouring out. I had a lady, we knocked on one door, and a lady came to the door, and she said, we introduced ourselves, and we told her what we were doing. We were inviting people to this prayer revival, and we asked if we could pray for her. She said, "No." She said, "No, I'm fine." And she was very sweet about it. She said, "I don't even live here." And we said, "Okay." Well, we were walking out the driveway, and we're just going to go to the next house. You get told no, you go to the next house and try again, right? So we were going to the next house. Well, the guy who lives there, her son, he pulls in the driveway, and greasy car mechanic gets out of the truck with a case of beer, and he's standing there, and me and my buddy were like, "Hey, we just talked to your mom, and this is what we talked to her about. Since you live here, can we pray for you? And we want to invite you to this prayer revival that we're going to be hosting tonight and for the next 3 nights." So as we were talking to him, he said, I told him, I said, your mom told us that she doesn't live here. And he said, well, she does live here. He said she's lived here for 4 years. She just has dementia. And she doesn't even know where she's at half the time. And in that moment, that was one of those God moments. I reached over and I put my hand on his shoulder. I said, sir, can we pray with you for your mom right now, just before we go? And he just had tears swelling up in his eyes that somebody cared enough to take the time to just pray for this lady and to pray for this situation. And, man, we prayed. And as we left, you know, we talked to the guy for a minute, got his information, plugged him in with the church. But as we were walking down the street, I told my buddy, I said, I'm just waiting to hear a shout and footsteps coming down the road from this guy going inside and his mom being in her right mind, you know, because that's what we do. Whenever we pray, we believe for God to do these miracles. And God didn't say you have to have the most faith in the world to receive a miracle. He said you just have to have a mustard seed, right? And we had so many more just miracle encounters as we were going through and we were knocking on these doors. The last guy we talked to on the last day we were doing outreach, he was at the very end of the street. It was the last house we were supposed to go to, or second to the last house we were supposed to go to. And he was sitting in his truck and he was on the phone. And I knew that was our last person. I said, well, I'm going to go interrupt his phone call. So me and my buddy walked around to the window and I kind of held my hand up like this, and he rolled his window down, and he said, what do you need? I said, well, what do you need? You know, I said, we're here to pray for our community. We're here to invite people to this prayer revival that's going on and just to see how we can impact our community. Well, he was on the phone with his brother, and their mother had just died. And he said, well, I'm on the phone right now with my brother. Our mom just passed away, and we're trying to plan a funeral. And so we put ourselves out there for him, and we showed him how, you know, how caring we were by, you know, asking him. I said, I don't know you. I said, I don't know your brother or your mother. I said, but I know God. And I know God is a comforter, and God can let his peace fall on this situation. And I asked him, I said, can we pray for you and your brother? Because he was still on the phone with his brother. I said, can we pray for you guys before we go? And before we left, we took him through that survey after we prayed for him, and we got him connected with this church. So we did this outreach for 2 days worth of outreach, but there was over 230 people that were going around and knocking on doors and walking the streets of St. Augustine and reaching people. And we got over 250 people to fill out these surveys to get connected with the church in 2 days. That's over one person. You know, there was 230 people that went to reach out, and then there was over 250 people. So each person won somebody. Each person reached at least one person. So as it averages out. So I want us to think about whenever we're going about our daily lives, we can do this same thing. It doesn't have to be, we don't have to be, you know, just dedicating 5 hours a day going out and doing outreach. We can do this in our personal life, whenever you stop at the gas station, whatever it is, you can connect with somebody. And if you ask 10 people in one day if they're interested in a Bible study or if you can pray for them, you're going to get somebody that's interested. And that's what we're going to do here. We're going to reach out. We're going to do outreach. We're going to win this city first, and then we're going to branch out, and we're going to keep on flowing. So while we were at Blitz, we were, well, I'm going to save this for the end because I actually have a picture to go with it. But we done some praying. We sought after God. We sought after the will of God. We connected with people that we knew would is going to benefit us whenever we bring this thing back home. And we try to make as many connections as we could because we want the same thing that we did there. We want it to happen here in Winterville. And we're going to. We're going to see revival here in Winterville. And in this church and in our people, and it's going to be awesome. So one of the main things I learned while we were doing these prayer revival meetings, we had three nights from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock in the afternoon where we met at the St. Augustine Town Square, and we had this prayer revival. During this prayer revival, you're not going to believe this, but we had over 200 apostolics lifting their voice in public and speaking in tongues. And I'm telling you, it was like the day of Pentecost. The people heard the sound and they came because they were trying to figure out what is going on over here. They heard the worship, but what they really heard was the sound of people lifting their voice and praising God and praying and crying out for a city. And people were drawn by that. So we need to be confident in being apostolic, okay? We don't have to be reserved whenever we go out. If you run into somebody at the gas station and you're praying for them and you feel the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues. That might just be the door for them to say, "What did you just do?" And you can say, "Well, let me show you. Let me give you a Bible study real quick." You know, and just you have that connection there. But the world wants what we have. So I didn't plan on talking about this, but it just came to my mind. And, you know, in the Old Testament and even in the Gospels, there were temporary infillings of the Holy Ghost, of power, that the prophets or Jesus' disciples, as he sent out the 12 and the 70, he gave them power over the devils and to heal people and things like that. There was a temporary indwelling. Well, most of Christianity nowadays, they're still living without the power that we have. And they want what we have. And you can't fake what we have. The Holy Ghost is what makes the difference. Yeah. So while we're at these prayer meetings, it was almost indescribable at the things that took place. We saw crowds coming. People were just, we did the outreach and we invited people, but in downtown St. Augustine, it is a very, very populated place. There's a college right next to the square. There were people everywhere. And whenever they heard what was going on, they came. And whenever they came, their lives were changed. If they wanted it. So we had it in this video. One thing about St. Augustine, in the video, if you remember where all those people ran in, they were dancing under a pavilion. That was the first place in the United States where slaves were sold in America. That was bondage. That pavilion represented bondage. And I'm here to tell you that God set people free from bondage that week. We had 49 people get filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. 25 people were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And there are so many. There's over 120 connections that actually was requesting Bible studies from the outreach efforts. But God blew our minds. And I've got a few I've got a few testimonies that I want to share from it, from Blitz. Matthew, if you want to go to that second slide. So this guy right here, his name is Mr. Sparrow. And Mr. Sparrow, he walked up to the outdoor service. He heard the sound of what was going on. He walked up to the outdoor service, and we prayed for him. And he was renewed in the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. And he said that he hadn't done that since he was in his 20s. He got a fresh renewing. And he's also a minister of a denominational church. But after he got that renewing, we asked him if he needed a miracle. And he said, I'm blind in my left eye. And we prayed for him. And after we prayed for him, we asked him to open his eyes and test his eyes to see if he could see. And he began to shout and jump up and down and say, I can see, I can see. How many people believe that God still opens blinded eyes? I mean, come on. God is a miracle worker. This is not anything that man can do. Only Jesus can open the blinded eyes. You can go to the next slide, Matthew. This lady right here, she came in to Blitz. She came into the prayer meeting, and she was struggling to get in. She had a torn meniscus in her knee. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but it was torn. Well, she was baptized in Jesus' name, and God filled her with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And whenever she came out of that water, she was jumping. And I'm talking about God completely healed her. After that, she said the pain was gone. She had no more pain in her knee. All because a bunch of people got together and prayed and made a opportunity for people to come in and receive blessings from God. But not just blessings from God. God, whenever Jesus, before Jesus ascended up into heaven, it says that he raised his hands and he blessed them. 500 people were blessed. Over 500 people he blessed. But only 120 of those people went to Pentecost. I'm not going to be satisfied with just a blessing. I want the full package. And this lady, she got the full package. You can go to the next slide, Matthew. So these two guys right here, their name is Kish and KD. So the bigger guy here, he's actually a gospel rapper, which is really cool. I got some of his music. So Kish and KD, this guy right here, his name is Chris. Chris's car broke down while they were doing outreach. And KD brought him a car. He called a rental service, and they dropped a car off to him. And while they were there, they connected with him and invited him to this outdoor prayer service. So this was the last night of Blitz. And Brother Fish, he told us before we went into it, he said, tonight we're going to do this crusade style. He said, first, we're going to have somebody get up and talk about miracles. And then somebody's going to come behind them, and we're going to pray for miracles. And then somebody's going to get up and talk about repentance. And then somebody got up after him and led everybody in a prayer of repentance. Well, after that, somebody got up and began to speak about the Holy Ghost. And somebody after them got up and prayed for the Holy Ghost to fall. Well, whenever they were talking about the Holy Ghost, and they said, if you want to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost tonight, I want you to raise your hand. Well, Kish, the guy on the left, he threw his hand up so fast, and I was standing like from me to Dalton from. I said, I know who I'm praying with. This is the guy I'm going to go pray with. Well, little did I know, he had just gotten there. Him and his brother, they had just walked up. So they completely missed the whole repentance prayer. They weren't there for that. So we began to pray, and we prayed. I prayed with Kish, and there was another guy was praying with his brother, and we didn't make any progress. God didn't fill him with the Holy Ghost, and we were like, "This is like textbooks. They should be speaking in tongues right now. What is going on?" Well, I stopped him, and I told him, I said, "Man, I just began to encourage him and say, God is going to do it for you. You just got to keep on pushing." And I said, "Is there anything that you need specific prayer about?" And it really helps whenever you're praying with somebody to get specific details on what they're praying about so you can pray specifically for them. Because whenever you can pray specifically towards a situation, you can speak to it. It's hard to speak to something that you don't know what you're talking to, right? Well, he began to explain to me, he said, "Me and my brother, we just moved here, and I'm trying to get away from my past." And something clicked in my mind. I said, "We just repented." I said, "Wait a minute." And I asked him, I said, "So were you here whenever they were talking about repentance?" And he said, "No." He said, "I wasn't. We had just got here." And so I told him what repentance was, and we began to pray again. And well, I asked him, I said, Do you wanna pray this? I said, "Do you wanna pray this prayer of repentance and then push one more time?" And he was all for it. He said, "I want it." He said, "I want it tonight." And I said, "If you want it, God's gonna give it to you." Well, we prayed that prayer of repentance. And he had his arm wrapped around my neck as we were praying, and I could hear him sniffling, and tears were just flowing down his face, and he was repenting. He was trying his best to get away from something. And then right before we were about to make another push to ask God to fill him with the Holy Ghost, the guy on stage stopped us from praying. It's like, does this guy know what he's doing? You know, this guy's about to get the Holy Ghost. And so we stopped, because in the service prior to, right before we got to the nighttime service, they made a point. They said, during this crusade, you can go after individual results, and we'll see individual results. A few people will get, they will get filled with the Holy Ghost, they'll be healed. Or you can go into this thing as a team and get team results. And as we work for the kingdom, we're a team, right? We can only do so much on our own. We need the body. And we don't need to act outside of that. So whenever they stopped us from praying, I stopped praying. And I told Kish, I said, "Man, let's see what they're about to talk about." And well, they gave an invitation. They said, "If you just prayed to receive the Holy Ghost and you didn't receive it, I want you to come over here to the front, right in front of the gazebo that they had set up." And so I asked him, I said, "Man, do you want to go up there?" He said, and he still had his head hung. He had just repented. And he was like, and he was still feeling it. He was still feeling the effects of that repentance, that repented heart. And well, we walked up front, and then I looked back, and his brother was right behind him. And we began to pray again, and God filled his brother with the Holy Ghost first, and then God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Because God is faithful. And then these two guys, they were like the highlight of the whole weekend. I mean, it was insane. They got up on stage together, and we had a baptistry over here, and we had a baptistry over here, horse troughs filled with water, and they were both baptized in the name of Jesus Christ at the same time. And they, whenever they got out of the water, they embraced each other, and it was powerful. It was powerful, and man, it was just awesome to just be there. But God is faithful. Whenever, if we can get together and we can create an atmosphere to where he can just move, he is going to just move. I don't have a slide for this one. I wish I did. But there was this one lady. She had what's called club feet, where her feet at the end, they turn in like this. And she had had 9 surgeries. Well, she showed up to one of the services, and God straightened her feet out with no issues whatsoever. God healed her completely and then filled her with the Holy Ghost. I don't know about y'all, but I get excited whenever I hear about people getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Getting healed is one thing. Getting healed is the miraculous. And it's not, you know, we don't see healings as much as we see people getting filled with the Holy Ghost. We should be thankful that we're seeing people just get filled with the Holy Ghost more than we're seeing people get healed, because that's what matters. That's what's going to get us into eternity. A blessing is just for here on this earth, but I want what's going to take me all the way. We were in the middle of, as I'm talking about this, this is stuff that's happening to people that are just coming up to the services. This is not people that's in the church that these things are happening to. But we were in one of the day sessions, and Brother Fish's aunt was there, and she had something, her foot was in a brace for some reason. And we stretched our hands her way, and we began to pray for her. The whole church did. And God healed her. He healed her 2 days later. He didn't heal her on the spot. She woke up 2 days later and didn't need that brace anymore. She was completely healed. And it was just God being faithful. It's just God answering prayers. And this is what we read about. Jesus said, "Knock and the door will be open. Ask and you shall receive." Matthew, you can go to the next slide. This lady right here, she came into St. Augustine in a wheelchair with cancer. She showed up to St. Augustine for a cancer treatment. But God had other plans. She came into St. Augustine. Somebody saw her in that wheelchair and went up to her, and they showed her the love of God. Somebody, I don't know who reached this lady, but somebody took the time to stop and kneel down and get on her level and talk to her about this prayer revival. Whenever we're going out and we're trying to reach people, and you come to somebody that looks like, I don't know if God can fix them. They look like they're way too far gone. But those are the situations that God does his best work in. Don't ever pass up an opportunity to show the love of God to somebody, because God will do what he's going to do whenever you step out in faith. He can move, but we have to move first. This lady, she was in town for a cancer treatment, and somebody told her about this prayer revival, and she showed up. God filled her with the Holy Ghost. She was baptized in Jesus' name. Whenever she came out of the water, she was speaking in other tongues. She was in a wheelchair when she got there, but you see she's standing here on her own. I don't know if she had something wrong with her legs, and that's why she was in the wheelchair, or she was just too weak. But here we see this lady. She's standing, crying out to God. Born again, sins washed away. God is so good. We have the ability to reach people, to pray for people. We know how to pray in this church. We know how to pray. We know how to love people inside the church. Whenever people come in, it's almost scary whenever you walk in here and everybody's just loving on you. I mean, it almost makes you want to leave sometimes. But we know how to do these things. If we are willing to just take a little bit of time out of our day as we're going about doing our things, we can have God moments like this wherever we are. And God can move. This last slide is, it's a picture of me with my family at one of the services. Go ahead, Matthew. You don't have it? Okay. Well, I had to scan through the live recording just to find this video, and somehow we were just in it. But it's a picture of me and my wife standing side by side. She was holding Sunday, and I was holding Archie. And I didn't know it at the time. Hallelujah. I just spent, before I stood up and Karen came down and prayed with me, I was on my knees praying for this church. Because I knew whenever I got to that prayer meeting and I seen all of those people, I seen all those people from churches from across the country crying out for a city that wasn't even theirs. I saw our people. I seen the love that our church has for people. And I don't even know how long I was on my knees praying, but I was crying out to God and interceding on behalf of our church, because I knew what we were experiencing down there, we were going to experience here. My wife came down, and I didn't know that she was praying the same thing, but she put her arm around me, and we stood there for the longest time crying out to God. And I'd give you a demonstration, but you'd think we were crazy, that how much we were pouring out to God on behalf of our church. Because I know the hearts of our people here. And I kept telling myself, if we could grab a hold to that burden for souls that was so heavy. It was so heavy in these prayer meetings. We wouldn't be able to contain the people that we would pull in. I mean, if everybody grabbed a hold to this thing at the same time, we would have to rent out the Classic Center. I mean, we'd have to find space somewhere to just hold the people that we're reaching. And that's the main thing I want everybody in here to get out of this tonight, is I believe in you. I know our pastor believes in you. We just need to grab a hold to a burden for a soul. You can stand with me. I'm going to wrap up here in just a few minutes. The heart of God is souls. Our focus for this year is souls. Jesus died for souls. Thank you. we could just grab a hold to this tonight. Just that alone. Jesus, He went to the cross for us. But we're here. I mean, we're here. There's a bunch of born-again believers in this place. And if you're not, you can be tonight. But there's a city. There's cities around us. There's a college campus. There are souls that Jesus died for. If we could just take up our cross in this manner and follow Him and do whatever it takes to reach a lost soul, to take time, whatever it takes. I just want us to make it up in our mind tonight. Lord, I'm going to do whatever it takes. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, I'm going to do whatever it takes to reach a lost soul.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.